Hi, and welcome to season two of Adventures in Local Marketing. I'm Christian, Director of Product and Marketing at Bright Local, and I'm really excited to be back talking to more local marketing experts. In this season, we're going to branch out a bit, covering a wider variety of topics. I won't give these away right now, but rest assured, all of the topics are going to be super relevant. The goal with this season is to broaden our horizons and gain new knowledge and perspectives to help you become better at local marketing. On this episode, we're sticking within the realm of local SEO, but exploring a topic that we haven't covered in a lot of depth before, and that topic is multi-location local SEO. I've enlisted Amanda Jordan from Locomotive Agency to help us navigate this topic. We'll be talking about the different local SEO issues faced by multi-location businesses today, and Amanda will provide practical advice on how to overcome them. So let's jump right into season two and my conversation with Amanda. Hey, Amanda, welcome to Adventures in Local Marketing.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here and talk to you today.
Well, you're a guest that I've wanted to have on for a long time, and we've kicked off season two, so it's great to have you as the first guest of this season. So how about we kick things off by learning a bit about you? Can you tell me about the agency you work at, Locomotive Agency, your role there, and what sorts of clients are you working with?
Right. So Locomotive Agency is actually a technical SEO agency. So we typically work with enterprise level clients that have either like a retainer relationship or maybe one-off projects like a huge site migration or a site merge or URL restructuring. And I am the director of local search. So I have my own clients that I manage, but I also help with clients help the other directors with clients when their clients have a local aspect as to how they want to rank or where they want to rank. For example, one of the directors at my agency, he has a client that is a property management company that owns a lot of apartment complexes. So after they worked on a lot of those technical issues and got a good foundation, I came in to assist with some of the local needs there. My clients range from law firms with only a couple of locations to home senior care companies with hundreds of locations, credit unions, energy companies. So a good mix of both small, medium-sized businesses and as well as enterprise-level businesses.
Okay, great. So on this episode, we're going to be talking more about some of those larger multi-location businesses. And I'm really keen to learn more about what they look like in-house. So like, what sorts of marketing teams do they typically have? And do you find that the team size kind of correlates with the number of locations, or is it quite different each time?
It is pretty different each time. I think part of it is how the age of the company, right? If it's a startup, they may have fewer in-house digital marketing team members. If it's been around for a while, they may have more. So it really depends on the client, how big their in-house team is. But I typically work with their digital marketing team. So it's typically someone who has somewhat of a background in SEO and analytics from their side. And it's typically more than one team member. I usually end up being on call with maybe three or four different team members that are responsible for different parts of the site. So typically a content manager is on the call. There's typically someone who's like responsible for web updates and things like that. And then usually their team lead or manager would also be there. So that's typically the makeup of clients. And I don't see a strong correlation between how many in-house team members they have and the number of locations. I think that, like I said, I think that would depend on how long the company has been around and how important they consider digital marketing to be, right? Because the more they realize digital marketing is a huge part of their business, the more in-house team members they likely have to work with agencies that they also partner with. It's I love having in-house digital marketing team members to work with. I think it makes things a lot more collaborative and interesting. And we, of course, get to learn a lot about different industries through that because they understand their audience, the personas or end customers that they're working with. And like we learn from them too, right? Because they're doing other things like social media, PPC, which my agency really doesn't do. So like it's interesting to get to work with so many different digital marketing experts and collaborate with them on projects.
And so, through your career, have you noticed that there's been an acceleration in these larger multi-location businesses actually looking to digital? Obviously, the big thing that's changed over the last couple of years is COVID, and maybe digital has become more of an important thing. Have you noticed any trends around that?
Definitely. I think there it is highly more visible that SEO even exists to the businesses. I think a lot of businesses that really didn't understand our industry before are finally seeing how important it is to have a strategy for SEO, to have someone to go to that has a lot of experience, right? Because essentially, when they hire an agency like mine, they're hiring us for our experience. They're hiring us so that they don't have to learn things the hard way because of our expertise. We've done so many different types of projects that we've kind of already had a lot of the growing pains and issues that we could help them avoid of finding out the way to do things the hard way. And it also helps us provide a point of view that they may not see often because they're team is focused on one industry while we kind of get a more holistic, bigger picture because we're looking at digital marketing and SEO needs as a whole. I definitely think COVID has accelerated the need, or at least for them to see the need for having digital marketing. I think a lot of companies are going to focus on getting more in-house employees to work on their digital marketing. But I don't see that being a bad thing for agencies. I think that's more gonna, it's going to be kind of like a liaison, someone to work with agencies, but someone that they can also go to with questions and understanding the data and understanding recommendations. So I think it's going to be a great thing for our industry overall because it'll just be more representation for us. It'll be more knowledgeable clients about what we do or why it's important. So it'll be easier to get things done, hopefully, fingers crossed. But that's one of the biggest issues with multi-location businesses is that they do have a lot of red tape. There's a lot of people that need to buy into projects and understand the importance for things to actually get moving. And hopefully the recent events and things like that will help them kind of see that a little bit more and move forward with projects. I think that's probably one of the biggest pain points for enterprise level clients is that it is a bit slower getting things done. When you have a client who has a small WordPress site and you have one or two people that you're talking to about these things and you're like, and they can be like, go ahead and do it. It's easy to get things done. But when you have enterprise level clients, there's always a lot of stakeholders involved and people who need to approve of the decisions that you're making.
Yeah, I can totally get that. So, do you find that your role is more as a consultant, or are you getting in there and actually doing some of the work yourself?
Yeah, so with the multi-location enterprise level clients, it's mostly for on-page stuff. It's consulting. When it comes to Google My Business, I am like getting my hands dirty because there's so many things that can be complicated with that, especially for multi-location businesses. And if they don't have local SEO team members in-house, then there's very little that unfortunately that they can do to deal with like mass suspensions or issues with competitor spam or things like that. It's just really hard for them to manage that. I also find that a lot of SEO teams know enough about local SEO to be dangerous. Like they understand the importance of it, but there are just some nuances that they don't understand, like how proximity impacts your ability to rank, right? I see a lot of times, especially with businesses that have franchisee owners, but they want to rank for like a huge city. Like was, for example, they may want to rank in Houston or Texas, but they are in like a small subdivision of Houston or right outside of Houston, but they expect themselves to be able to rank in one of the most highly populated cities in the country without actually being in that city for a competitive market. And I find that a lot of my clients struggle with explaining that to like their internal stakeholders, why that can be difficult. So like part of what I do is come in and help them with that. I use tools like BrightLocal's new ranking tool where you can see how you rank nearby, like within a certain radius of your location. And I use that a lot to help educate clients as to what their position looks like right now. And they're always surprised. Like even some of our most successful clients, they don't realize how limited like their radius of influence is because they don't see it like that. But seeing that map and seeing like, oh, once I'm outside of 10 miles of my location, I barely show up at all. So they realize how important non-branded local SEO becomes because they didn't realize before a lot of these people outside of their proximity has been looking them up for brand related searches. So that's how they've been finding them, not because they looked up dentists near me and they got this dentist that's outside of Houston. So like getting them to realize that there is a huge difference between being in Houston and trying to rank in Houston and being outside of a big city and trying to rank in it. So yeah, I think proximity is like a huge thing that clients struggle to understand when they're not necessarily directly in local SEO.
So yeah, that's I guess one of the main use cases for local Search Grid. It's actually being able to show clients, this is the reality, that this is what we're up against. These are the constraints, I guess, that proximity places, as much as it is obviously for, say, the SEO analysts to kind of really dive in and get some benchmarks and really understand the true competition. So it's great to hear that, yeah, you're using it in that way and it's being effective.
Yeah, I've sold clients on opening new business locations using those types of tools before. So I was very happy to see when BrightLocal added that to their toolkit. So I think that's probably one of the biggest issues I see in local SEO. The interesting thing is that there are ways to get around that. Like if you're trying to rank in a city that's smaller or less competitive, or say you are like the big dog in in a bigger city, you can possibly finagle things so that you end up in Google Maps or smaller locations. But it really depends on a lot of different factors, like how close you are still, how many competitors are focusing on that city, how many competitors have locations in that city. So it's possible. It's just not likely to happen for like major metropolitan areas. You may be able to get some like areas around Houston, but not Houston itself. I think that's another way that I typically use the tools for those purposes to say like these are your opportunities nearby, like where you're not 20 plus, where you actually have a chance of seeing some improvement and being able to capture more leads.
Continuing with the Bright Local chat, you've just released a course on Bright Local Academy, which I've watched and is fantastic. But why don't you tell the listeners what it's all about?
Sure. So it's pretty much how I do audits. So I go over my process for doing audits for new clients. And it's especially really good for people who are working with multi-location businesses because that could be a huge time-consuming thing if you have a client that has 500 locations and you're trying to get all of this data for each location. So like I kind of break down my process, what questions you should be asking the client. What tools you can use to help you with auditing, and how to make that into something that's actionable and that can actually be used to put together your strategy for a client as well.
Nice. So it's not just about how you dive into the data and what tools you use. It's about the relationship that you can build off the back of the audit as well, right?
Right. So, like, if you're doing an audit and you're looking at all this information, but you don't know what to do next, this course is pretty much for you. It shows you how to break it down and prioritize the tasks afterwards as well. So how you can take this information that you receive from doing your audits and say, this is what we need to do, this is why we need to do it. And this is how impactful it should be or could possibly be. So it's kind of like a holistic view on how I view competitor audits. I've heard personally from other SEOs that they don't always look at their competitors, which I think is interesting because that's something I definitely do. But that may be because I'm a competitive person in general. So I want to see who's the best at things and figure out how I can one up them. So like that's how I review my local audits. And I think if you're not looking at competitor data now, I think it's a good way for you to understand how to read that information and how it applies to your client.
Yeah, of course, because like nobody is fortunate enough to be competing in search on their own, right? You know, everyone has competitors, everyone has different competitors based on different locations they might have. So when you're looking at competitors, is this a way that you can help prioritize what to focus on? Because I guess you've got to get ahead of those competitors in order to hopefully outrank them.
I like looking at competitors for that reason, and like we were discussing with enterprise level clients and having a lot of stakeholders, it's also a way to show them why something is important, right? Because if you say, hey, your competitor who's outranking you is doing this, it's much easier to get them to buy into recommendations when you can show them that this is what someone else is doing and it's why they're outranking them. I do that a lot with reviews. There was a study that recently came out that said that the number of reviews you have, it like having more reviews, it correlates very strongly with your position in the local pack. So I use that data a lot to encourage clients, especially to go after reviews, because unfortunately, I can do all the Google My Business optimization in the world, but if they have a 1.9 rating, it's not going to do much for them. Even if they made it into the local pack, what difference will it make when they have competitors that have a 4.7? So like just having clients realize that there's a limit, like this is a partnership, like we're working together to make changes, and there's things that they have to do to assist with that too. And that just kind of makes me think of something else that I feel really passionate about in SEO, which is being a true business partner with your clients. So it's not just about what can we do in Google My Business or on your site as far as content. It's still also like, how can I help you with conversion rate optimization? How can I help you with conversion rate optimization on your site and on your Google My Business listing? So that's one of the things that I like to focus on too, is looking at those landing pages that are connected to Google My Business and seeing what are the elements there, what are the factors there, in comparison to your competitors. Because if they have better conversion opportunities, if they do a better job of selling your service or product, you're likely cheating yourself out of a customer because they're seeing your competitors provide more valuable content and information to sell them on one page versus them having to do more research to make a decision to buy from you.
I guess on the topic of reviews, is that something that the larger brands want to keep in-house, or are they looking to, you know, outsource that to your agency?
So I do have some clients that outsource that to our agency. We help them with reputation management, so we respond to Google reviews for them. But for the most part, it's typically helping them get reviews in the first place. They typically like depend on clients to just leave reviews whenever they want to. And Bright Local has done lots of research and has shown us that if you do kind of leave customers to their own devices, you're likely to get negative reviews, because those are the type of reviews you're more likely to get if you don't encourage the positive reviews as well. So essentially what I do is work with my clients to find places in their existing workflow where they can ask clients for reviews. Like just look for touch points. When are they in contact with an actual person? When are they the happiest with their service? When is the relationship the strongest? And then building when we ask for reviews off of those things. And I've seen that help a lot of clients a lot. Like I have clients who had an average of a 2.2 rating, and now they have a 4.5 for several locations. So it's been highly successful, and all they did was ask. That was the only difference they made. It's just something that a lot of businesses are missing on, or they're slow to get started on. And it's once you do, though, it's very easy. I think when people are happy, they are very likely to leave a review if you just remind them that you need it. And I know I struggle with that as a customer too, right? I'm in local SEO and I forget to leave reviews for companies that I love and I use a lot. So I can understand why consumers do that on a regular basis. So it's our job to remind them that, hey, you like us, leave us a review. It'll help us out a lot.
So we've talked around a few of the issues, but if you had to pinpoint one, which is either the biggest or the most common local SEO issue faced by multi-location businesses?
The one that I see that is probably the most difficult to fix is duplicate content. And duplicate content, like if you're in very low competition areas, it may not hurt you that much, but if you're a multi-location business and you have 200 locations and they essentially all have the same content with the city and state change, you're not going to see the results you want to see. You need to have unique content, and that can be really hard to get when you have a copywriter that has to write 200 variations of the same content. And my solution typically for that is to find ways to get unique content that's like user generated or business generated. So user generated content could be reviews, leaving a questions and answers section on the page where customers can ask questions and you can provide an answer to them. You can also use people also ask data to create FAQs for your, and then have variations of the questions and answers so that you can, and that's much easier to do than to have to rewrite the same page 200 times. If you are a franchise, it's a franchise, and you have different franchisees, you have different people owning different locations, you can send out a survey, ask them pointed questions to get that data you want for those pages. So we've done this with a client recently. They are having issues hiring because they are in the home healthcare industry, and that industry is very understaffed right now. And they want to create better content because if you're looking for a caregiver in Greenville, South Carolina, that position looks the same as it would in any other city in the entire country or really in the world. So they have issues with duplicate content there. So we sent out a survey to all of the franchisee owners to get information about the area this person would be working in, what the hourly rate, since they have so many locations and that pay would differ based on what city they're in, any specific information they want to provide about the job, typical questions they get from candidates for caregiver jobs and their answers, so that we can build a page off of their own words, which means that we automatically have unique content. No one had to write 200 versions of the same caregiver page. We just asked 200 separate people to take 5 minutes and give it to us instead. So we do things like that to make it easier. There you can also get related like content about statistics and stuff related to your services. So if you are in the home senior care industry, you can talk about issues that seniors face in your area specifically. You can talk about demographics for your area. If you're like the client that I have, or the client that I'm helping with that owns all of those apartment complexes, that is what we're doing. We're talking about walkability. We're talking about nearby restaurants. We're talking about things to do in that city. We're talking about the community itself. And that just gives us so much new content to use. And that data is already available online, so we're not having to reinvent the wheel. We're just using what's already readily available to us. So there's a lot of different ways you can solve those issues. And we've seen a lot of success for clients that allow us to help them with their duplicate content issues. We've seen them have locations that receive like over 1,000% increase in Google My Business calls. And all we did was fix duplicate content issues on their site, get some citations, and do some internal linking, and that's it. Like, that was it. Like, we are not doing anything crazy to get those results, but fixing those duplicate content issues on their site made that big of a difference. So yeah, and just recently, the CEO of my agency met with one of those clients who had a duplicate content issue, and they were singing our praises because they were so happy with the results they got. And they think we worked a miracle, but in reality, this is what any local SEO should be recommending to a client that has too many locations or a lot of locations, but not enough unique content.
Yeah, I guess if you don't know that, duplicate content can be something, it can hold back your ability to rank. It probably seems quite natural to say, well, these pages just all need to look like this. We've got this template, so just chuck in the same content. But I guess from what you're saying, it also sounds like it's more than just removing duplicate content, but it's actually creating valuable content for users. It's obviously going to be unique to maybe the questions they have. And I can imagine, does that then just have a quite a big impact on conversion rates from those pages as well?
That is definitely something that I go for. Conversion rate optimization, I consider a very big part of local SEO. I don't know if everyone feels that way, but that's the way that I view it, and that's the way I treat my pages. I like building trust signals on the page, adding reviews, adding your unique selling proposition. So what makes you different from your competitors? Why should someone should choose you over your competitors? Eventually, I see it as like a PPC landing page, right? Like everything someone needs to know to convert should be on this page. Like they shouldn't have to visit any other pages to be able to convert and know enough about your business to feel comfortable contacting you. So that's always my goal with landing pages for local content, is to make it a one-stop shop for everything that someone needs to make a decision. So yeah, that's what I try to focus on when I do landing page optimization for Google My Business.
Yeah, I guess that's probably one of the only places in SEO where you probably have like the most control over where someone's going to land, like linking from your GMB listing. So in a way, it is kind of a dedicated landing page. It needs to serve all the purposes because that's what people are clicking through when they see it in a local result.
Right.
Awesome. So duplicate content, number one. And I'm guessing that is that something that's an issue in most cases when you bring on a new client?
I find that like maybe it's better to broaden it and just say content issues in general is the
Okay.
biggest issue, because it's typically duplicate content or not enough content. So it's very bare pages that really don't serve a specific purpose. Like it's not, and there's no clear intention of the page when you get to it. I think that's the other thing that I see most often, is that it's when you get to the page, you can't find information on how to contact the business. You can't see the address. It's too specific. You don't have a good idea of what all their products and services are, or the range of their products and services. It's the only way you can get to that page. It's an orphan page. There's only one link to the page. There's no way you can get to the page from main navigation, or it's not internally linked to you throughout the website. So those are they're just typically duplicate or an afterthought. So it's not like something that has a lot of care given to it. And I think that may just be like an education issue, right? Like people don't realize that it's important. And if they don't realize it's important, they're not going to give it the same care they give other pages on their website. But from a local SEO perspective, it's as important as your homepage. Like if you're thinking about it from only a local SEO perspective, the landing page you connect to your Google My Business listing should be considered as important as your homepage. And meet all the same needs that you expect your homepage to meet.
I reckon if I asked a lot of people in the industry what's an issue with multi-location businesses, they'd likely say listings management. I mean, it's fairly obvious. You've got dozens of companies that offer solutions for this. So it's obviously a big problem, but is it still a big problem? I mean, is it something that multi-location businesses are a bit more savvy about now? Or when you work with a new client, do you still find that, yeah, those issues are going to be there, those need to be resolved?
There's typically still some issues. It's not as bad as it used to be. I think a lot of businesses have caught on to that. And I always like to explain it that it's a twofold issue, because if those listings are inaccurate, then if someone is calling a phone number from that listing, they're going to have a problem because they can't reach you. And then two, how much value can it be giving you from an SEO perspective if the information is incorrect? So I approach it as a ranking issue and a conversion issue. So when I talk to clients about it, I do focus on, if I do find issues as far as inconsistencies in listings, I do try to focus on the ones that are extremely important. So like those that almost every site has, like Facebook and Yelp, those that are industry specific. So if you are like a tourist destination, TripAdvisor, if you're a law firm, Avvo, and all those types of sites. So those are the ones that I focus on for issues. I have seen, I know citations are one of those controversial topics for some people, but personally, I have seen sites, Google My Business listings that I created, did nothing with, and then later on only got citations for, and they improved in rankings. So I don't think citations are dead or even close to being dead. I think it's just the best ways to be ahead of your competitors. Look at how many your competitors have, look at the percentage of those that are key citations, and just try to get ahead of them. If you can beat them in both of those metrics, then you can at least remove citations as a factor that is keeping you from being able to rank well. And of course, that information needs to be accurate, because what's the point in having the business name, address, and phone number don't match what Google understands that information to be for your business?
Yeah, I think maybe the citations is kind of becoming a bit more almost like a technical thing where it's just like it's about making sure that you don't have an anchor that's kind of holding you back, just like you would
Exactly.
looking across technical SEO. And it's just like, okay, there's obviously loads and loads of discussion around, whether Core Web Vitals has actually, made a difference. But I guess the question is, it's like, can you live with, not doing it and potentially having it as an anchor? Because obviously there are so many aspects to, Google's algorithms that if you kind of know there's something that could be fixed, then you're able to actually look at kind of how much time and weigh up the kind of the cost benefit of it. Then if you can do it, then do it, because then you don't have to keep questioning yourself whether that's an issue.
I am someone that is not quick to rule out something specifically as a factor just because everyone else has decided it's not a factor to them. I like to test it and see it myself, right? Because if we don't test it and see it ourselves, all of us could be missing something for all we know. So that's exactly how I feel about Core Web Vitals too. If it's taking up all of your time, all of your client's budget, then it's probably not a good use of time. But if you can take a couple of hours and address whatever the issue is and fix it, then why wouldn't you? You can just decide, like you just have the proof that this can't be an issue that's affecting or impacting your ability to rank because you've dealt with whatever issues you saw there. That's exactly how I approach citations as well. It's like if we can, let's fix whatever issues we find there. Let's go ahead and catch up with the number of citations we have and the quality of the citations, and then let it go. Like we don't need to continue to look at them, continue to charge for them or anything like that. After that, we're just kind of just making sure duplicate listings don't pop up. Or no third party recommendations overtake the correct information on them. And we do use BrightLocal for that because it is one of the affordable options to have that done. You can run it ad hoc, so you don't even have to automatically run it every month, which is something that I prefer to do, is to run them ad hoc so that I can like keep all of my credits for whatever else, whatever other little projects I have going on. That's one of the reasons we chose BrightLocal when we use it, is so we can be able to review citations quickly, see competitor citations as far as like how many they have and the quality of those really quickly, and be able to say yay or nay, we need to get more focus on this for this client.
Awesome. The plugs are BrightLocal. I'm not stopping in this podcast.
Yeah, I'm not being paid to say good things about Bright Local guys. I just mean them. Like it's essential. That's really what I use it for. I did a live audit for the Women in Tech SEO group, and I like went through Bright Local when I did it because that's what I use. So like during that, I showed people like what I use, all the tools that I use to do audits, and I did a live audit of a random website, which was really risky because who knows? Like I could have found like nothing at all. But I just chose a random website on the internet and did the entire auditing process as I would if it was my client. So yeah, I think that's a really, I would love to see more SEOs do that. Just like do an audit for you and you can see how they treat, how they look at data, their logic or reasoning behind the things they look at. Because I see SEO as part data, part art. It's not all science, it's not all art. So it's interesting to see how other people interpret the information that they find.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, like in my career, I've kind of had a few, you know, technical SEO audits, you know, land on my desk after working with agencies. And yeah, there's a lot there. You know, it's a lot of depth. You know, it's a lot of recommendations. But I guess it's like what goes on during that process? You know, like how much is this just kind of a tool that is spitting out kind of like loads and loads of analysis or literally just, you know, pulling data? And how much is an analyst actually interpreting that data and kind of really understanding it? So it sounds, I mean, yeah, I'd love to see that. I'll have to see if I can track that down, a kind of live audit, you know, where you don't know what you're going to find, but in the end, was it, did you end up finding some kind of useful stuff as you did it then?
I did find useful things, and I found things that I didn't expect. So they saw what I did when I find something I didn't expect to. Like I love to see the way that other SEOs think about data and analyze data, because I think that's probably the best way for us all to learn, since it's an industry where it's very hard to learn any other way other than by doing. So getting to watch someone else do is very helpful. Is a great way to kind of get some pointers and think about tools differently. Because I imagine there's ways to use tools that I'm not using them now that could be beneficial to me. There may be more efficient ways to use some of the tools that I use on a regular basis.
Definitely. Yeah, because it's like there are some things obviously that are pass fail in an audit, but there's so much which is completely open to interpretation. And then I guess also it's on the experience of the SEO to consider what the actual priorities are and the next steps are. And that's the kind of stuff you're buying, right? Because anyone, I guess, can buy an automated tool that, you know, crawls a website and shows you things that are potentially issues. The tools aren't the competitive advantage. It's the experience and the knowledge and the know-how of the people who are doing the audits.
And because we are a technical SEO agency, we do spend a lot of time focusing on education. So making sure that we speak about SEO in very clear terms that anyone can understand and follow our train of thought to our recommendations. I think that's something that is extremely important, especially as more businesses understand how important SEO is for their digital marketing and business as a whole, is for us on our side as in-house SEOs and as agency SEOs and as consultants to make sure that we explain things in a way that is easy to understand. We're not doing magic. There's no hocus pocus. I tell people that I could teach anyone to do my job. It's not that I have some special skill that no one else could acquire. So like I like to approach it that way with my clients too, is to make it as easy to understand as possible, so that they can get buy-in for the recommendations I'm making and understand why it's important and hopefully move forward with projects at a quicker pace.
Obviously, there's some industry debate about citations, but I guess there's no question about the importance of Google My Business. When it comes to multi-location businesses, what are the biggest challenges you're facing, I guess, when you're both auditing and trying to optimize, and then, you know, some of the ongoing management? So obviously, you've got things like posts and you've got the Q&As and you've got products and services. How hard is it right now? And is it getting any easier?
It's getting easier. Google could definitely do better at supporting SEOs with bulk management of Google My Business listings. They could do a lot better. A lot of companies have stepped up and created tools to make it easier. Shout out to the team that made Postomatic, because that's probably one of my favorite local SEO tools. It's very easy to use. I can teach our analysts how to use it, and they can take over things like doing Google posts. They can schedule hundreds of them at one time instead of having to go one at a time and not being able to schedule them ahead of time, like would be the case in Google My Business in the browser. I know the Google My Business API has a lot of abilities that the browser version doesn't, but then that just kind of adds another hurdle for those who are in-house or those who are at an agency where they don't have developers that can help build tools. I think it's getting better, but still a bit difficult to manage doing multi-location audits. You really have to depend on third-party tools to do them. Google does not give you enough information at all to do any type of quality audit. As far as managing them, I typically end up using third-party tools too. So like I mentioned, Postomatic is probably one of my favorite ones. And then for fixing issues, like super hard to do, like in bulk, that's something that I typically do, like with a third-party tool too, or like one-on-one if it's just like a couple of locations having an issue. In Google My Business itself, I think the main things that you can like edit in bulk are those elements that show up in the most basic elements that show up in the panel. So like name, which could trigger a re-verification, address, which could trigger re-verification, phone number, which could trigger re-verification, and then like hours and business description and things like that. But for things like updating images, reviews, those things are in posts and things like that. Those things are much more difficult to manage in Google My Business itself.
It does seem Google's a bit behind in terms of like how it's allowing multi-location businesses to use Google My Business more effectively. Is it a case that they're reluctant to do it, or is it the case that they just haven't got around to doing it? I mean, what's your take on it?
It really is hard to say, because we know that Google can do it, right? Like it's kind of like similar to the name spam stuff. Like Google could definitely do things to get better at catching it on its own and not requiring local guides to kind of take that over for them and do all the reporting and to kind of go on SEOs to do it. So they could definitely get better at a lot of things related to Google My Business. And I don't understand what the issue is that's slowing that down. I do have seen because of COVID, a lot of features that we wouldn't have until like 3 or 4 years from now. Yeah, they're available now, and it's because of the necessity arise for them. So I'm thinking it's kind of just on them. Like it's like delivery and online services can be added as attributes during COVID, it means that they could have been there before, right? So I'm thinking it's not maybe that big of a priority to them.
Yeah.
And hopefully that changes as more and more businesses start to use these tools. I Google My Business and local SEO is definitely going to grow. It's not going anywhere. So hopefully Google will kind of like catch up with demands for tools and features and things like that. Even things like bulk verification is still not as smooth as it could be. It still requires a lot of work and a lot of knowledge about how Google works, right? Like if you're just a junior SEO, getting a bulk verification for businesses is very difficult. If you're a business owner and you have a location that's suspended, understanding why it's suspended and how to fix it is very difficult. There's a lot of things that if you're not within local SEO itself, even if you are an SEO and you focus on content or technical, it's hard to understand and get help with because Google My Business is not as polished as it could possibly be right now.
It is a strange one because I don't know. I wonder how much it comes to down to like, well, what revenue can we extract from kind of Google My Business as a product? But if they're looking at, well, who's got the deepest pockets and might be willing to spend on advertising, it's going to be those bigger businesses. So if they're driving more adoption of around their features on Google My Business with these larger businesses, then maybe that's their way to get people to kind of start thinking about how they invest more into local search.
If you think about which business categories they started with the local service ads, I think it's clear that they are following the money. Like it's like who can pay, like what industries are willing to pay more for these features and things like that. I agree with that. The good thing is that there are a lot of industries that have large marketing budgets that could support that. Like the automotive industry, huge. Local SEO is extremely important for them. Financing and banking industry, huge. Healthcare industry, huge. There's a lot of really legal industry, like all of those do need local SEO. They depend on it. So hopefully seeing their marketing dollars and realizing that they have a lot of money that they can spend on these things will help Google kind of focus on that as well. But like, of course, paid ads are probably doing a lot better on organic. I think they're testing a lot of things right now, though. I've seen 5 packs lately. I've seen 2 packs. I've seen all kinds of crazy things. So I think Google's doing a lot of tests. I've seen the service ads show up in search results, like in the Google My Business panel. Yeah, there's a lot of crazy things going on right now. I'm imagining that Google's testing what's going to work for Google My Business and Google Maps. And hopefully that means that there's more things as far as features coming down the pipeline soon. Because the more involved, the more data we'll need to. And I would love for them to make more improvements to the insights data as well.
Okay, so let's finish up with final question, which is I'm a local SEO who's just landed their first multi-location client. What 3 things should I be thinking about or starting to work on right away?
Audit Google My Business. Audit your location-based pages on the site and the services related to those pages. Audit online reputation. Those are the things that I would focus on at first. That content is likely going to be, if your Google My Business listing is complete to its fullest extent, there's nothing you can change there. That content is probably going to be the next important thing. If your content is optimized as well as it could possibly be, your online reputation is going to be what's impacting your ability to convert. So I think if you start with those 3 things, most things are going to line up. If you have the ability to do technical SEO, or then that would definitely be one of the things I would consider too, just to make sure there's no underlying issues with indexability and crawlability. Because even if you do the best job you can with local, if no one can crawl your site, it's not going to make it. If Google can't crawl your site, it's not going to make a world of difference. So those are things from a local perspective I would focus on. Google My Business listing itself, related content on the site, and then your online reputation.
Nice. And it all starts with auditing. And thankfully, now we have an amazing resource with your course on the Bright Local Academy. We'll drop a link in the show notes so people can go and enroll in that. It's completely free. It's made up of 10 lessons. And yeah, there's a lot that you can learn from that. Amanda, it's been great chatting with you. I always find it really interesting talking about the multi-location side of things. It feels like it's just a world full of more complexity, more red tape, more focus on the relationship side of things as well. So it's always really, really insightful to be able to speak to someone who's living in that world. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So that's it for today. If you want to check out Amanda's course on Bright Local Academy, then you can find a link in the show notes. I'm going to leave it here for now. It's great to be back, and I'll catch you again very soon.